We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, Text 57. Iti reshe tarkyeni jama himani sva pramitikya. Paratrajaton tan nirasana mukha Brahma kamitaho. Anishapidrashtam kimidam iti vamuhyati sati. Kaccha dajo gyatva sapadi paramoja javanikam. Okay, iti das ira ishe Lord Brahma, the Lord of Sarasvati, ira. Atarkya beyond nija mahimani, whose own glory svapramitikya, self-manifest and blissful. Paratra, beyond. Ajata, the material energy. Prakriti. Atat, irrelevant. Nirasana mukha, by the rejection of that which is irrelevant. Brahmaka, by the crestules of the Vedas. Mitau, in whom there is knowledge. Anisha, not being able. Api, even. Drashtum, to see. Kim, what. Idam, is this. Iti, das, va, or, muhyati, sati, being mystified, chachada, removed, aja, Lord Shri Krishna, gyatva, after understanding, sapadi, at once, Parama, the greatest of all. Ajajavanikam, the curtain of Maya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Brahman is beyond mental speculation. He is self-manifest, existing in His own bliss, and He is beyond the material energy. He is known by the crest jewels of the Vedas by refutation of irrelevant knowledge. Thus, in relation to the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, whose glory had been shown by the manifestation of all the four-armed forms of Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the Lord of Sarasvati, was mystified. What is this? He thought. And then he was not even able to see Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then at once removed the curtain of his yoga maya. Purport. Brahma was completely mystified. He could not understand what he was seeing, and then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then removed that yoga maya covering. In this verse, Brahma is referred to as Iresha. Ira means Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and Iresha is her husband, Lord Brahma. Brahma, therefore, is most intelligent. But even Brahma, the Lord of Sarasvati, was bewildered about Krishna. Although he tried, he could not understand Lord Krishna. In the beginning, the boys, the calves, and Krishna himself had been covered by Yoga Maya, which later displayed the second set of calves and boys, who were Krishna's expansions, and which then displayed so many four-armed forms. Now, seeing Brahma's bewilderment, Lord Krishna caused the disappearance of that yoga maya. One may think that the maya taken away by Lord Krishna was Mahamaya, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that it was yoga maya, the potency by which Krishna is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. The potency which covers the actual reality and displays something unreal is Mahamaya. But the potency by which the absolute truth is sometimes manifest and sometimes is not is yoga maya. Therefore, in this verse, the word aja refers to yoga maya. Krishna's energy, his maya shakti or svarupa shakti, is one, but it is manifested in varieties. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. The difference between Vaishnavas and Mayavadis is that Mayavadis say that this maya is one, whereas Vaishnavas recognize its varieties. There is unity in variety. For example, in one tree, there are varieties of leaves, fruits, and flowers. Varieties of energy are required for performing the varieties of activity within the creation. To give another example, in a machine, all the parts may be iron, but the machine includes varied activities. Although the whole machine is iron, one part works in one way, and other parts work in other ways. One who does not know how the machine is working may say that it is all iron. Nonetheless, in spite of it being iron, the machine has different elements, all working differently to accomplish the purpose for which the machine was made. One wheel runs this way, another wheel runs that way, functioning naturally in such a way that the work of the machine goes on. Consequently, we give different names to the different parts of the machine, saying this is a wheel, this is a screw, this is a spindle, this is the lubrication, and so on. Similarly, as explained in the Vedas, Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate Svabhaviki Gyanabala Kriyacha. Krishna's powers is variegated, and thus the same Shakti or potency works in variegated ways. Vivida means varieties. There is unity in variety. Thus Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are among the varied individual parts of the same one potency, and all of these individual potencies work in their own varied way. The Samvit, Sandini, and Ahladini potencies, Krishna's potency for existence, his potency for knowledge, and his potency for pleasure are distinct from Yoga Maya. Each is an individual potency. The Ahladini potency is Radharani. As Swarup Damodar Goswami has explained, Radha Krishna Pranayavi Ktir Hladini Shaktir Asmat. The Ahladini Shakti is manifested as Radharani, but Krishna and Radharani are the same, although one is potent and the other is potency. Brahma was mystified about Krishna's opulence, Nijamahimani, because this opulence was atarkya or inconceivable. With one's limited senses, one cannot argue about that which is inconceivable. Therefore, the inconceivable is called achintya, that which is beyond chintya, our thoughts and arguments. Achintya refers to that which we cannot contemplate but have to accept. Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless we accept achintya in the Supreme, we cannot accommodate the conception of God. This must be understood. Therefore, we say that the words of Shastra should be taken as they are, without change, since they are beyond our arguments. Achintya kalu ye bhava natam starkena iryojayet. That which is achintya cannot be ascertained by argument. People generally argue, but our process is not to argue, but to accept the Vedic knowledge as it is. When Krishna says, this is superior and this is inferior, we accept what he says. It is not that we argue, why is this superior and that inferior? If one argues, for him the knowledge is lost. This path of acceptance is called Avaroha Panta. The word Avaroha is related to the word Avatara, which means that which descends. The materialist wants to understand everything by the Aroha Panta, by argument and reason. But transcendental matters cannot be understood in that way. Rather, one must follow the Avaroha Panta, the process of descending knowledge. Therefore, one must accept the parampara system. And the best parampara is that which extends from Krishna, evam parampara praptam. What Krishna says, we should accept. Imam Rajarshaya Vidu. This is called Avaroha Panta. Brahma, however, adopted the Aroha Panta. He wanted to understand Krishna's mystic power by his own limited, conceivable power, and therefore he himself was mystified. Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, thinking, I know something. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand, for one cannot bring Krishna within the limitations of Prakriti. One must submit. There is no alternative. Natam starkena yojayet. This submission marks the difference between Krishnaites and Mayavadis. The phrase atan nirasana refers to the discarding of that which is irrelevant. Atat means that which is not a fact. Brahman is sometimes described as astulam anan vahrasvam adirgam, that which is not large and not small, not short and not long. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 5.8.8. Neti neti. It is not this, it is not that. But what is it? In describing a pencil, one may say, it is not this, it is not that, but this does not tell us what it is. This is called definition by negation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains the soul by giving negative definitions. Najayate mriyateva. It is not born, nor does it die. You can hardly understand more than this. But what is it? It is eternal. Ajonitya shashvatoyam purano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. It is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying and primeval. It is not slain when the body is slain. In the beginning, the soul is difficult to understand, and therefore Krishna has given negative definition. Nayanam chindanti srastrani, nayanam dahati pavaka, nachainam dayantyapo, nashoshayati maruta. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor can it be burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. Bhagavad Gita 2.23. Krishna says it is not burned by fire. Therefore, one has to imagine what it is that it is not burned by fire. This is a negative definition. So here in the second part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains a very basic thing. Very basic in the sense that we heard it before. And it's interesting that in the text itself, and Srila Prabhupada underlines this idea, that Lord Brahma is addressed with a name that means that he's the master of Sarasvati. Sarasvati is the goddess of knowledge. So Lord Brahma is the master of Sarasvati, so he must know more than Sarasvati. And he doesn't know. He cannot figure it out. Of course, in the first part, Srila Prabhupada explains, quoting Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that actually Lord Brahma was under the spiritual potency. He was under Yoga Maya, not under the material potency like we are. But Srila Prabhupada takes this example to make a point. Very simple point. Very simple, but yeah. not so simple. Theory is very simple. So he speaks about two ways of acquiring knowledge. We can the descending path and the ascending path. The ascending path means we use our mind to get some knowledge. And of course we know there's three main ways of acquiring knowledge, which are called Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda. Okay, Pratyaksha means... Okay, Pratyaksha means by the senses. Anuman means using the mind, which includes the senses. And Shabda means scripture, coming from Krishna. Whatever is coming from Krishna. So there's three ways of acquiring knowledge. And it has to be understood that Pratyaksha and Anuman are intrinsically imperfect. They are never, ever, 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 ever gonna produce a perfect knowledge, because we have by using imperfect senses and imperfect mind, you are never, ever, 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 ever gonna produce perfect knowledge. Never. It's that simple. Of course, we know we have some defects. So, it's not gonna work. And here we have Lord Brahma, who is a bit more advanced than we are. And still, he cannot figure it out by his own powers. That's the meaning of this purpose. And then sometimes people use, they like to talk about intuition. And we did this workshop on intuition because one person wanted to hear about intuition. What does the Veda say about intuition? And yeah, of course, we try to get something from the Vedas which is relevant. And what we said in principle was that there's three ways of acquiring knowledge. And what we said before, that only you have to get knowledge from some perfect source. And if your intuition is telling you to do something according to the Shastras, then you do it. And if your intuition says that to do something which is not according to the Shastras, then you don't do it. That's it. It's that simple, you know. Because how our mind works, and there's thoughts coming, you cannot really distinguish what thoughts come from Paramatma and what thoughts come from the mind, which is a very deep thing, where these ideas were deposited there since millions of lifetimes. So you cannot distinguish, you know, like you can improve how you distinguish, but eventually you cannot, you know, like you cannot say, oh, I feel like this, so this must be coming from Paramatma. Okay, yeah, maybe, might be. But eventually what you have to do is say, oh, is this according to the Shastra or not? If it's not according to the Shastra, whatever. That's it. So that's a crash course on intuition. Intuition means that some ideas come up, not according to the Shastra, just ignore it. So that's what Srila Prabhupada explains. And of course, you know, we heard this many times before, you know, like we're devotees and we heard, oh, okay, that's we have to follow Shastra, we have to follow Shastra, we have to follow Shastra. But do we really do it? Maybe sometimes, sometimes not. You can see that the tendency is always there to use something other than Shabda, and to use something because my intuition tells me something. I'll just give you some examples from my experience these last weeks. For example, I go for Sankirtan. I heard that it's good to go for Sankirtan. So every day I go to some city. I go in the morning and take some prasadam for lunch, and then go to the cities, and then go there and distribute some books, and I come back at some point, 4 or 5, something like this. So all the time I'm thinking, is this city a good city? Is this city a bad city? Is it this or that? You know? And of course, you should use your intelligence to tell, okay, maybe this city has only 100 people. Maybe maybe there's no people there. But at some point you realize that you just don't know. How do you know if this is a good city? So I just try. So I just make a list. This is the cities. And then what's next on the list? Oh, today we're going here. Okay, Hare Krishna. Get in the car, drive there, and see what happens. You know? And sometimes some decision might seem not good. You know, like I was in Logatec, and I thought, let's go to the train station. If you want to go to these small cities, if you want to find people, there's three places. You go in the center, you go to the train station, bus station, or you go to the shops. That's it. That's all you need to know, how to find people in these small cities. And you try. So I go to train station. I said, okay, there's a train station here. Okay, might be some people. Let's try. Oh, 500 meters from where I am. Okay, sounds fair. It's not such a long walk. So I go there towards the train station, and there's no one on the way to the train station. And I get to the train station. I go inside. You know, like the wind blowing, nothing. No one. Absolutely no one, you know. And then I come back to where I was, and on the way back, you know, it's like, okay, waste of time, you know. And then I see this gentleman walking his dog. You know, these people who are walking their dog, they never have any Lakshmi with them, because they don't need, you know. So they never ever have any Lakshmi with them. So I said, okay, whatever, what can I do? So I said, okay, let's stop this gentleman anyway. So I said, hi. I was like looking like a normal person. I said, hi, we're sharing this book. He was not very interested, but yeah, anyway, he was polite. So, okay. And then I said, oh, this book's about this, that. And yeah, in the end, you say, oh, you can help with a donation also. Yeah, it's not forbidden. So he said, oh, okay. And he takes his mobile, and his mobile finds his 20 euro bill, and says, is this enough? Okay, yeah, you know. So I give him another Bhagavad Gita also, and then I just go. So from my perspective, this seemed like a waste of time, you know, like seems like a crazy idea. Who had this crazy idea that I have to go to the train station? But somehow, Krishna had some other plan. You know, like, oh, we'll send this guy. You know, you meet one person and you distribute one Bhagavad Gita. Good deal, you know. In general, it's a good if you manage to distribute some Bhagavad Gita, it's a good deal. So, yeah, anyway, that was... and sometimes... you also see that Krishna guides us in a way which is somehow beyond our understanding. They say it's not illogical, because it's translogical. Illogical means that it's something that is just stupid, it doesn't make any sense. Like this Christian idea that God is all-loving, and if you are very sinful in this life, or somehow sinful, you'll burn in hell forever. This is just illogical. You know, it's just stupid, you know, like this crazy idea. And but this Krishna, the way in which Krishna behaves can be translogical. This means not that it's illogical, but it's beyond our logic. There is some logic there, but you don't understand it. You cannot understand it, you know, like. So Brahma cannot understand it. So we cannot understand it either. It doesn't mean that there is no logic. There is a logic. Things are very clear, you know, and so on. But it's beyond our understanding. That's the point. So sometimes he works like that. I was two times this week. I just had this. I was like, okay, where to go today? This city, and I go to that city, and something happens there. You know, like I went to Kamnik on Monday, and they had this Pust, this carnival. I just happened to be there at the time, and there were quite some people. I mean, it started in the evening, and. But even in the morning, there were people there, they were preparing, people were coming through, they had mass and so on. There were a lot more people than usual, you know. So I was like, okay, I have no idea why I'm coming to this city, but Good. And then the next day, another day, I went to Shkofia Loka, and they had this market, which they have once per month. And I was trying, I went somewhere where I knew it's a good parking place, there's always parking space. So I just went there because to find a free parking, which was not far from the center. So I was like, okay. So, and I had no idea why I'm doing this, but Krishna had a different plan. You know, okay, there's some people, there's, you know. So the point is that sometimes we should see that Krishna has a plan, and it might be different from our understanding. You know, my our logical understanding says it should be work like this, but it might not. You know, and just one more example. And the point is that we should stick to Krishna's version. Also, when you preach, you know, like you don't know what happens when you preach. All you know is that you have to follow the Shiguru Parampara. That's all you know. And you have no idea what the results are. You can see the results, you know, like in 5 minutes what the results are. But you cannot see what the real results are. I mean, he likes you and he likes your preaching, but if you're preaching something else, what's the use, you know? Like, so I was in Novo Mesto and I met this guy who had this really bad karma. He just cut his finger, and he has done something, and he had 10,000 euro debt to the police. So he was like in a big mess. So I said hi, you know, we were talking a bit, and then somehow he took a book, he gave a donation, and I knew that's all I can get from him. And then he said that he has he opened up and he started telling me his problems, this problem, that problem. And I told him, yeah, this material world is just problems. So he was looking at me, whoa. I told him after he took the book, you know, gave a donation. So then he said, yeah, but now I have this spiritual knowledge and this will solve me, help me solve my problems. I was like, no, it's not gonna do it. And he was expecting some positive material thinking, you know, some positive thinking. I was like, no, it's not gonna do it. You know why? Because you're in the wrong place and you cannot fix it. I was like, what? And then eventually he got to the conclusion, well, I thought you were from God, but you seem to be from the devil, actually. Like, anyway, I explained him more, and somehow he understood, you know. I don't know what he understood. But he was like, we had a friendly discussion, you know. It was not like a fight, you know. Friendly, but so what... What I saw in this and in many cases is that if you smile, you can tell people anything. You can go even that far as to tell them our philosophy. It doesn't matter. But this process, this Sankirtan process is mystic. It's completely mystic. These people you meet, they have some Sukriti or they don't have. And if they have some Sukriti, they will take the book. And if they don't have Sukriti, they will not take the book because they don't have Sukriti. They don't have pious activity. This is really completely mystic, and you cannot know who will take and who will not take. And of course, you try to be nice. You tell them how nice they are, how this and that. And of course, you tell them something. You don't tell them too deep philosophy before they take them. But you never, never, ever know. So this is relaxing. Because this is not, these things are beyond our control. And our duty is not to fix everything, our duty is not to arrange everything, our duty is to do our duty. This is a simple process called karma yoga. This is not even karma yoga, this is karma kanda. In karma kanda, there's this idea, you have to do your duty And you don't worry about what's the result. Is this gonna be like that, like that? It's gonna have results. How do you know if it's gonna have results? How do you judge if it's gonna have results? Yeah, in passion there's always some results. There's some nectar in the beginning and then a lot of poison. So, you know, how do you improve something? Okay, you put some passion in and you have some results. And wow, this is successful. It's not. So, the only success is that we follow Shri Guru Parampara. So, that's everything we have to do. And that's very mentally, very relaxing. You know, when I understand this, I'm just like, okay, where should we go today? Here. Okay, good. Put the GPS, just where do we park? We go there. How long should we stay here? This amount of hours. Okay, just go around this amount of hours. Oh, it's finished. Okay, Hare Krishna, let's go back. It's so relaxing, so nice, so simple, you know, like no more. So the whole point of this is that we cannot understand what's good and what's bad. We cannot understand with our limited intelligence, so we have to develop what's called Shastra Chakshush, seeing through the eyes of the Shastra. So this means we have to study the Shastra and we have to have Guru Sadhu Shastra and we have to find out what we have to do and do it. And that's it. It's that simple. And this understanding that we cannot figure it out everything, this is very relaxing, this is very good. You cannot figure it out. Okay, just follow the Shastra. I'll just read this. I speak too much sometimes, sorry. I'll just this commentary from Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita 3:30. There's this is Lomachita Prabhu likes this purport. He says, "The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline." So it's like you're in the army. This is Karma Yoga chapter. You just find out what you should do. You study the Shastras, you consult with Guru and Sadhu, and then you do it. And that's it. that's the whole conclusion of this understanding that you cannot figure it out. And you're aware, I cannot figure it out. Okay, no problem. Hare Krishna. Sorry. All right. If there are some questions, concerns. Okay. I hope I didn't depress you too much. Jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.